This screen is really important, what the court said here, because it becomes important when we're looking at whether a public employee has to answer questions to their employer. The threat of disbarment and the loss of professional standing, professional reputation, and of livelihood are powerful forms of compulsion to make a lawyer relinquish the privilege. And the key words there to me are professional standing and professional reputation. Now, when we talk to the employer and they say, we're threatening your job, or we're going to do certain things to you if you do not answer our questions, think about what is a sanction. And if the Supreme Court in 67 held that the loss of professional standing and the loss of professional reputation are powerful forms of compulsion, then a suspension without pay or some other form of compulsion at the school district level, how is that not a powerful form of compulsion if to this lawyer the loss of professional standing or professional reputation was? And so we have to start looking at what is a form of compulsion when you juxtapose it with Spivak versus Klein, and when you're looking at what is the sanction.
That's a very good point. And so as we go through this, you will see that compulsion can mean many things. It doesn't just mean termination. And there is a lot of debate out there about what compulsion means, and we will get to that and talk about it. So the very next year, again, there is a lot going on in the late 60s and early 70s about Garrity, and then it just dies. The next year, the Supreme Court decides Gardner versus Broderick, where here, the employee failed to answer, again, a police officer, failed to answer questions. He failed to sign a waiver of immunity at his grand jury hearing regarding the performance of his conduct. And he was again discharged for his failure to sign the waiver. And the court said if the employee had failed to answer questions related to the performance of duties without being required to waive immunity, the privilege of against self-incrimination would not bar dismissal. But here you cannot fire an employee based solely on the employee's refusal to sign a waiver of immunity regarding Fifth Amendment rights.
This case just kills me. Sign this waiver of immunity and go in there and testify to the grand jury about what you did. No, you're fired. And they had a problem with that. Nobody finds that odd? Does anybody find that odd here other than me?
Several of these cases passed Garrity, I find odd. Like, weren't you listening to what the Supreme Court said? Maybe because of all the dissenters, they thought that there was going to be a changed decision. Then there was a series of cases regarding sanitation workers. And here in this case, 15 sanitation workers were fired for refusing to waive their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. And again, it goes all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. It's 1968. And the court says that public employees are subject to termination if they refuse to account for their performance after proper proceedings, which do not include an attempt to coerce them to relinquish their constitutional rights. So in other words, an employer can ask any question the employer wants to ask related to the performance of an employee's duties, and the employee is required to answer. And if the employee doesn't answer, they can be fired. However, the employee cannot be forced to waive their constitutional right against self-incrimination, which means you can use it in the employment. You can use the information you receive in the employment context, but then you cannot use the information you receive or the fruits of the information you receive in the criminal context.
And so that's where the invocation of the Garrity right occurs. And so you would, what I've forced to happen in this situation, such a situation as this, is you need to direct me to answer this question. Just give this person a directive. And then, for some reason, it's not in the PowerPoint, but if you look at the back of the paper, there's two different forms that I use, the last two pages of the paper that I use, and I give to the questioner. And I have my client sign it, and I ask the questioner to sign it, and I ask them to attach it to their report and put it in their file. And this formally, in my view, invokes the protections of the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment under Garrity and Spivak versus Klein. And if they refuse, then they're not going to ask my client any questions, period. And that's just the way it's going to be. Because this protects the client from in the other setting. And then once they've been directed to answer it, and they give and I give them this, and they've acknowledged it, and they agree to put it on their report, and we'll talk about that a little later, then they're protected in the criminal side, and you're free to ask them whatever questions you want on the employment side. And now I have protected my client, and you can do whatever you want on the employment side. I've been getting pushback on this lately, which is why I suggested this topic. I don't understand the pushback. You get everything you want. The client is protected on the criminal side, and we've done, both of us have done our jobs. When a prosecutor's office sees one of these in their file, every prosecutor's office I've dealt with, when they see this, the prosecutor closes the file and they give it to a team separate from that prosecutor who has to go through the file and sanitize it from any Garrity-protected statements, take those out, and then redo the investigation to ensure that nothing is tainted by the Garrity statements and see if they can still prosecute the case. That's the way it has to work. And so if the lawyers are doing their job on my side correctly, you protected your client from waiving his right to remain silent, and the district got to do its job. And that's why we have these.
To be honest, I think the pushback on our side might come from two areas, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong.